What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
And on Saturday night, you wouldn't be anywhere else except right here. With me again, as Jillian is off being Jillian somewhere, we have the cat.
Hello.
And, yeah, you know, he came back because, well, I can't keep him away from the show. Charlie McMullen has returned.
I got no place else to go.
So let's just start off. We've been doing this a lot lately where we haven't had...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We've instead had the most awesome thing. Because there's been a lot of awesome things lately.
It's been an inspiration to me.
I'll just preface this. I'm not a Nickelback fan. Are you a Nickelback fan, Kat?
Not really. I don't dislike them, but I don't like them. My world would not be any better or worse if they weren't here on this planet at all.
As a karaoke host for the past 7 years, I fucking hate Nickelback.
I'm so sorry. You must hate Journey, too.
I actually like Journey, despite all the just auditory rapings that I've just had to sit there and watch.
You know what we should do? After the show, we will link Kat to the video of you and Alex Jowski drunkenly singing Air Supply.
That was awe-inspiring.
Now, this story we're about to talk about isn't new. It just hit the news. This actually happened in March of 2010, but it's still relevant. And there's a couple of quotes here I recently love. There's a small Michigan brewery called Dark Horse Brewery. Nickelback, the band, is apparently a fan of this brewery. So they said, we want to feature some of their beer in our music video. Dark Horse said, fuck off, Nickelback. I'm quoting here. It's obvious that this would be a great opportunity for us and maybe get some mainstream youth into craft beer rather than the swill. However, none of us at the brewery really care for the band. So our knee-jerk reaction is, no thanks. But how cool would it be to see our beer in a video? Why can't it be some cool band like Slayer?
Poor Nickelback.
And then he goes on. I absolutely hate that band. It's shit rock and roll that doesn't deserve to be on the radio.
Nice.
I just love the fact that why can't it be a cool band like Slayer that wants to have our beer in the video?
Does Slayer, are they still producing?
Yeah, Slayer's still putting out new stuff.
Do they make music videos still?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Because we should totally petition this to happen.
I would love to have Dark Horse Brewery in a Slayer video. I think that's an endorsement. As much as they're trying to anti-endorse Nickelback, they're endorsing Slayer.
Someone needs to call Kerry King and say, we've got this beer for you. You need to like this.
We handcrafted this just for you. Please use it in a music video. That would be awesome.
They could make a Slayer brand.
A Slayer brand. It would be so awesome.
Slayer lager.
So what does this say about Nickelback itself? Because I don't know a single person. I mean, Kat, you're wishy-washy on the whether you like them or not. You know, you can take them or leave them. I don't know a single person that likes them, though. How do they sell a million albums if no one likes them at all?
Clearly, people do like them. It's just not people that we know. We obviously not run in the same circle as people who enjoy Nickelback. I'm not sure we live on the same continent as people who enjoy Nickelback. I'm not sure we live on the same planet as people who enjoy Nickelback, but they must exist.
I don't even know if Avril Lavigne likes Nickelback, and she's married to the damn singer.
Oh, man. Somebody had to marry him.
She married him so someone else didn't have to. She took the hit for the rest of us.
Good for you, Avril. I've got, like, particular beef with Nickelback. I mean, to their credit, they seem like all right guys, because, like, I've seen interviews and shit like that, and, like, you don't hear about the lead singer of Nickelback getting behind the wheel drunk and killing a couple of kids. Like, they're all right guys, but the music is just awful. And having read the lyrics to several songs, that song Rockstar is a particularly bad offender. There's a line that says, we'll all stay skinny because we just won't eat. And then there's a line that says, we'll get our meals for free. I would like for him to make up his fucking mind.
This anti-endorsement, again, this is not new. It was in 2010. But do you think that will actually help Dark Horse or hurt Nickelback?
I think if I'm just now hearing it 3 years later, it's probably not really made that much of an impact. to be honest. If I was going to go drink at Dark Horse and have some craft beers, it wouldn't be because they don't like Nickelback. It would be because they have the coolest brewery name ever.
I think it's going to hurt Nickelback. I would like for it to hurt Nickelback, really. But, I mean, as far as anti-endorsement goes, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. There's really no way to tell. Because, like, when you think about South Park's anti-endorsement of Chipotle, you know, crapping blood and whatnot, that, I mean, I think Chipotle's doing okay. And also, Nickelback fans don't really seek out news, so I don't know how many of them are even going to know about this.
You know, I think if nothing else, maybe Nickelback won't drink their beer anymore.
You know what? I'm tempted to play a Nickelback song at the break, but I just can't do it. I just can't do it.
Because then you would have to listen to one.
Yeah. And I'd have to download one, and it would have to be on my computer, and I don't really want that to happen.
I think you have enough contextual uncertainty. Like, if I just go, "This is how you remind me," they won't charge you for that. Yeah, Fair enough. That song picture is to karaoke what the Hindenburg was to recreational Zeppelin travel.
Was there a big recreational Zeppelin travel movement before
there,
the...
There was before the Hindenburg, sure. That was going to be huge. Personal Zeppelins, but no.
Now all of our steampunk dreams have been vanquished by Nickelback. Is that where this argument is going?
Yeah,
I think that's what we can take from this.
Nickelback, destroying your steampunk dreams.
All right, let's move on to something else kind of stupid. But
yes, I could bash Nickelback all day.
Yeah, the whole show's not going to be bashing Nickelback. We've done enough. Megyn Kelly on Fox News, and I hate to say this, but you need to keep this relative, okay? She tended in the past to be a relative voice of reason on Fox News. Like when they were doing all the woman bashing, she would step in with actual facts. So for Megyn Kelly to be the one saying this, and again, keep this relative to Fox News, not to actual news commentators. Megyn Kelly flipped her shit last week because some random blogger on Salon.com suggested that why does Santa always have to be white? And I'm going to quote here. "For all of you kids watching at home, Santa just is white. But this person is just arguing that maybe we should also have a black Santa. But this person is just arguing that maybe we should also have a black Santa. But Santa is what he is. Just because it makes you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean it has to change, you know?" Here's the best part. Still quoting. "I mean, Jesus was a white man, too. He was a historical figure. That's a verifiable fact, as is Santa. I just want the kids watching to know that. Before we move on."
I agree that Santa is what he is, a fake made-up thing.
So, to be fair.
And so is Jesus, sure. I just think, way too much thought, meaning any, is being put into this. I would also say, like, a nice, hearty, well-intentioned fuck you to people that would be offended that Santa is not the same race as them anyway. Like, because I found out the truth about Santa early on, so when I was a little kid, I didn't idolize Santa. I idolized Richard Pryor, and he's black and I'm white, and I didn't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm another one of those people who found out really early on that there wasn't a Santa because I actually, when I was a kid, I lived in Germany. We had the whole St. Nicholas explanation for cultural reasons. And yeah, exactly. And and so, like, the idea of, like, sitting down and going, Santa is white because it's fact, is just so unbelievable.
Verifiable fact. You can verify. Santa's white.
Because Jesus is white, too. And it's so dumb because Santa is this made-up figure based on St. Nicholas, but, you know, canonized in a Coca-Cola, you know, advertisement. It's so ridiculous. This whole argument is so ridiculous. On the other hand, I have to give her credit for the whole "it's a verifiable fact" is now going to be like our in-joke, and that's a verifiable fact, because this is just too funny.
And on Fox News, that means something.
Yes.
I always thought it was very funny, too, that Megyn Kelly considered herself the voice of reason at Fox News, which is like being the smartest cast member of Storage Wars.
This actually does kind of lead to a larger question, which is what I want to ask each of you. Why is it so offensive to think that made-up figures like Santa and Jesus have to be white when the original legends, I mean, like, if Jesus were real, part of the world he came from, he wouldn't have been white. Santa, If he were real, the part of the world he came from, he wouldn't have been white. We made them white. So why is it so offensive to think that, why do they have to be white?
I think it's honestly so that white people feel comfortable. They can't handle the concept of something that's outside of their comfort zone. It's like, it's whiteness of the skin variety is what you know. Then obviously, if you have some figurehead that you idolize, you're going to associate that with whatever makes you comfortable. So that whole pasty white skin is comforting. It creates a sense of familiarity. It creates a sense of possession. Like, that's your idol. That's Santa belongs to you. Jesus belongs to your religion because he's white. And that's just a comfort to them, I think.
To be fair, my only argument against a black Santa is it makes me think of a Medea Christmas, and I don't want to do that.
That's as good an argument as any.
Well, because I think both Jesus and Santa Claus were conceived by white guys, and at the time when they were conceived, I'm assuming Jesus came first, but I could be wrong. And there are no facts, because we're talking about made-up bullshit, but all these things were made up by white guys, and at the time when they were made up, white guys saw themselves as people, and everyone who was not white, not so much people. So that's the reason why they are white, and it just never occurred to anyone for them to not be white.
Why is there this kind of pushback? Okay, Santa, as the legend, doesn't need to be white. If you're in Harlem, a white Santa would kind of seem out of place. And I'm not making a joke out of that. Why can't they have their black Santa, and down in Mexico, they have their Latino Santa, and in Palm Springs, they have their white Santa? Why does the made-up character, why can't he be regional?
Because that makes white people uncomfortable.
It sure does.
Just because it makes you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean it has to change, you know?
It's the beautiful hypocrisy there.
Yeah, tell that to a Christian and see how fucking far you get.
So this blew up huge. I mean, as if Fox News needed another strike against it. Here we go.
This is the brightest feather in their cap so far.
Sadly, yes. In Mexico, a truck was hauling cobalt-60. Highly radioactive material that they had taken out of old MRI machines. Two assholes stole the truck and opened the container housing the cobalt-60. These were just morons who were carjacking a truck, okay? They were just stealing a truck. They didn't know what was in the back. My question to you is, if this had been a targeted attack, doesn't that scare you a little bit that they could have sold this to the Iranians or any terrorist group or Al-Qaeda, if not for just being fucking morons?
Well, if it had been a targeted attack, they probably wouldn't have opened it. It is a little scary to think about that some average carjackers and not, you know, terrorist carjackers were able to do it. That's a little disconcerting. Where they would potentially sell it is anyone's guess.
It reminded me of something that happened to me about 10 years ago. I was working on a movie. I had $5,000 worth of video equipment in the back of my van, and I had parked at a bar for a few hours and came back, and it had been broken into, and the only thing that was stolen was a bobblehead statue of Leatherface that I had glued to the dashboard.
Oddly specific.
Yeah. They didn't even get the little chainsaw that was in his hand at the time. I found that in the vent like a couple days later. But I don't think this is a targeted attack, because I don't think the two carjackers knew what they were taking. Because if they did know what it was and they opened up the container, saw what it was, then they would not have just threw it out of the back for all intents and purposes.
And that's kind of the scary part. Not only did they expose themselves to this, at the time of this recording, they haven't found these guys' bodies because they're dead. Because the radiation exposure that they took when they opened the housing, they had 2 to 3 days of life in them without medical attention, and they have not shown up at a hospital yet. So these guys are dead. They just haven't found their bodies yet. These idiots killed themselves. But
that's some crazy karma right there. That's a little harsh on the karma scale.
It is. But there's the bigger question. They chose to open this in an unpopulated area. Now, had they gone to, say, a parking lot at a Walmart in the middle of the day and opened this. They could have exposed how many other people accidentally. The question is, were they smart to be this stupid, or were they stupid by being this smart?
I'm going to need a minute to recover from that verbal kung fu you just dropped on me. I think they were stupid. I mean, I don't think they knew what it was, and I think the stupidest knee-jerk reaction that a person could have would be to just, you know, close it back up and throw it out the side and run away, which is essentially what they did. I mean, I myself, though, envision a happier ending to the story. I think two Hulks, like they can, like, jack five cars a day. They're just carrying them on their shoulders and shit out there stealing cars.
I mean, that would be kind of, like, the beginning of a beautiful supervillain group of some sort. What's the Anti-Justice League?
Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom. That would be an excellent start to our very own Legion of Doom.
The Chop Shop of Doom.
Yes. without knowing what the landscape of where they were at, I can't say whether or not they were good or clever or not clever in where they chose to open it up. On the other hand, I honestly think if you're hauling something that's obviously radioactive, it should have little signs on it all over the little box that has biohazard and do not open and dangerous. And I mean, they opened up that Pandora's box. They are really fucking dumb.
Am I the only one picturing the end of Repo Man? Opening that trunk?
Yep.
But then there is, again, a larger issue at stake here. Where they opened it, like I said, in an unpopulated area, is only 2 miles away from a town of 4,000 people. Had they done this in the town, the authorities never alerted the town that there was any danger. It wasn't until 3 days later that the town was informed. Yeah, there was radioactive material just like 2 miles down the road. You know, we could have needed an evacuation, but we didn't. Is that lacking on the authorities' part, or were they just doing the, it'll all work out, why panic everybody thing?
I'm no scientist, so I don't know what the hot zone would be for that. You know, what the radioactive area circumference would be. I'd like to think that they were trying not to panic anybody, because this would definitely be a situation in which I personally would panic. So I'd like to think they had the honest intentions, and maybe they didn't fully understand the situation either, so they really just didn't want everybody to up and panic, or perhaps they wanted to keep people from going there out of curiosity, because people are dumb.
Well, I think that goes without saying, but if I heard, hey, there's a truck leaking radioactive waste 2 miles down the road, I think I'd be going the other direction.
You know, like reporters or somebody could be trying to get in there. You know, an honest journalist with nothing to lose.
I think you just made a new sitcom right there. and then his villain can be Mexican Hulks.
Yes. Well, now I'm envisioning like gigantic luchador Incredible Hulks. But no, I think Kat brings up a good point. People are dumb. They're dumb all over the place. I think not telling anyone is just their infrastructure, their bureaucracy trying to contain potentially panic-inciting information and then letting it leak out anyway. I mean, and then causing a panic anyway. If we do that all the time in America, why not in Mexico?
The way I look at it is they should have at least told everybody, hey, maybe keep the dogs inside, maybe shut the windows. I don't know, maybe a little bit of heads up. Maybe not say what was happening, why it was happening, but just a little heads up, an ad with a, there is no reason to panic, you don't have to leave, we're not evacuating, we're just telling you what happened.
Well, from their point of view, I mean, they already can't drink the water. It's like, how much shit are they expected to take?
You're not going to let Montezuma's revenge go, are you?
No. It's happened. To me.
Just hold it in.
Easier said than done, my friend. Warms my heart to know that Mexico is just as big a fuck-up as our country.
I'm not so sure that's something that you should be taking pride in, but fair enough.
We're not so different, you and I.
So are we going to start sending them, all of our affluent college students, to do their lawns?
I think that would be great. Give them a sense of self-worth.
On that note, we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
it's a Jack and Coke Saturday night for Heart Attack in the middle of a what the fuck moment. I'm Hart D. Fisher. With me is, of course, Mr. Josh Hadley. And folks, if you want to support us, if you want to help us out and help keep these radio shows going, buy our shirts, goddammit. We have shirts for sale. Go to 1201beyond.com or AmericanHorrors.com/store. Get yourself an American Horrors Christmas card, which are limited editions. I'm going to sign them when I send them out to the customers. It's really good shit up there, and this is the way you can help us eat and take care of our families, because this is kind of like a job, something that we just do out of the goodness of our hearts. I mean, I love yapping at motherfuckers, and I love talking about this stuff, but hey, folks, we need to make some money too. So if you want to help us out and you want to support what we're doing, go get some shirts, go get some comic books, go get some poetry books. Now, Josh,
just be careful what you do in Texas with that with those comic books and those t-shirts.
Yeah, what the fuck's going on in Texas now, Josh? Jesus Christ, you blow up Texas almost every week.
Minority Report is happening in Texas. Future crime. A Texas appeals court ruled last week that police can obtain a search warrant based on their suspicion of you going to commit a crime.
So you might commit a crime, so they can arrest you before you doing a crime. You haven't done a crime, but you might.
Right. The case came about. Texas authorities were watching a house that they thought was going to be cooking meth. The various chemicals were being shipped in, all the equipment. So the police got a search warrant and busted it down when they actually had just been doing everything legally. Everything they acquired was legal in and of itself. Until it is put together as meth, it's not illegal. So basically they said, you were about to cook meth, so we're arresting you before you actually committed the crime. It's future crime. It's fucking Minority Report.
That's kind of scary, man, because the reason the police were watching the house, they claimed that it was about an informant, said these people are fixing to make some meth. They decided the part that's really scary is based on a informant who is a meth head who said they're fixing to make some meth. They illegally broke into that house to find out if there was meth materials there. That's a big part of what's going on with this case, is they're saying we had enough evidence to figure that they were going to commit a crime. So we illegally went into the house. We went in without a warrant, and then we saw that they had materials. Then they went and got a warrant to go back. Double jeopardy right there.
So are we going to start just, well, that guy is really pissed off. He might kill his wife. We better just arrest him for murder right now, right?
And here's what they found, guys. They found pseudoephedrine, stripped lithium batteries, and they don't mention the rest, and materials used to make meth. Well, you know, honestly, folks, if they were damning like red phosphorus or other things that are only like used for meth that a normal person wouldn't have, I think they'd be listed in this article. Most people who have to deal with the cold have pseudoephedrine in their house. Most people who have cell phone have lithium batteries in their house. So that could be anybody, guys. That could be anybody. And they say, ooh, the lithium batteries were stripped. What the fuck does that mean? Stripped. What? My brother used to take apart every electronic device in the house. He wasn't a meth head. He was just that kid that went to Radio Shack and bought shit and just took everything apart. But getting back to this case, this is really scary, man. And the judge even says, you know, search warrants may now be based on predictions of the commission of future crime. The judge lamented.
Yeah,
future crime.
Like I said, this is Minority Report. As it stands now, the law says you have to actually commit or attempt to commit. In other words, you know, you have to be lunging at the person with the knife. Then it becomes attempted murder. You can't just walk up to them while holding a knife. That's not attempted murder.
Exactly. Like for me, I'm a martial artist. I practice the martial arts. Does that mean it shows that I might future assault and batter somebody because I'm preparing to defend myself? Because I know how to do hand-to-hand combat, therefore I might commit a future crime?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is dystopian science fiction shit right here, but in reality. This is scary, Hart.
This is real shit, guys. This is real stuff. Like, when people go online and go, oh, conspiracy theory. Fuck you, this happened.
Do you think that Chris Alexander can now sue us for future libel? Because we haven't said anything about him yet?
Fuck, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's kind of...
We might, right?
You never know with that kind of thing. I mean, this country, and I already know this, you can sue anybody for anything. I mean, you could make up shit. He didn't believe that my Christ was superior to his Christ. I'm going to sue him because I felt insulted and emotionally battered, so I'm going to sue. It's kind of scary, this future crime. And here's what they had to say. This is what Judge Lawrence Myers said. He said, had the officers entered the home and found the occupants only baking cupcakes, the officers would not have bothered to then obtain the warrant at all. It was only after unlawfully entering, let me say that again, folks, only after unlawfully entering and finding suspicious activity that they felt the need to then secure the warrant in order to cover their tracks and collect the evidence without the taint of their entry. And I'm going to say this, their illegal entry. That's another way to discuss unlawful, illegal entry. They broke into their house illegally. How come they're not being prosecuted for breaking and entering? I'd love to know that. And they lied to the judge to get the warrant. They said we were using the information we obtained from an individual. We got this from an individual informant, a confidential informant. That's not true. They fucking lied. And this judge, by ruling for them, allowed them to lie, allowed them to break the law. And in fact, there's no crime here. They didn't make meth.
Exactly. You cannot be arrested for thinking about something.
Dude, I think about kicking some people's ass plenty. There's people that make me mad. I'm like, boy, I'd like to punch that motherfucker right in the face.
How many times, Hart, have you said, I just want to kill that motherfucker? You don't actually mean you're going to go and murder them and take their life. But is that now a future crime?
It's a figure of speech. It's just you're angry and you're a barking dog. And it's kind of like these Facebook posts where all of a sudden there's a post on your Facebook and anybody could post it. I mean, we already have the government admitting that the FBI can spy on you without your little camera light turning on. That's the FBI, folks. And if they can do that, what can people who really know their way around a computer do to you? I mean, they could post anything on your Facebook. They could post anything on your fucking Twitter. And then you're going, that's not me. But you don't really it's a catch 22. This future crime, it really bothers me, Josh. This is from really scary fucking shit.
Well, what it really boils down to is it gives the cops absolute authority. Well, I don't have evidence that you committed a crime, but I'm going to arrest you and harass you anyway because you might have. It makes the cops absolutely infallible in Texas. You have no defense anymore because now
and
they can claim
it,
you were going to do something.
And, dude, wasn't it in Texas they had a couple of troopers that had been pulling women off to the side of the road and illegally searching their body cavities on the side of the highway?
Well, that happened in multiple places, but Texas was one of them, yes.
Texas was one of them. And didn't Texas have an issue where they were illegally stopping drivers and forcing them to give up blood and saliva?
Yepers. Texas is, I honestly think, where the second Civil War is going to start.
You know, dude, isn't their governor, Rick Perry, the dude who totally flubbed his presidential run yet somehow managed to get reelected as the governor of Texas? I mean, what I remember about Rick Perry was he was a stuttering idiot. He was a stuttering retard.
They
asked him a question about one simple thing. There's three things you want to shut down in the national government, Mr. Perry, governor of Texas. What are those things? Well, I know number one. And
I don't remember.
Kind of know number two, but I didn't know this was going to be on the quiz. I don't know number three, even though it's my own plan. This is what's going on in Texas, folks. You got a blow-dried fucking retard running it. You got, and it's my understanding that Texas is the state that, Texas is the state that put a man to death on shitty fucking arson evidence, like magic arson evidence. And it was really a guy who was trying to rush back into a burning building to save his kid. And they put him on fucking death row. Man, I tell
Texas
you, man.
Texas also will execute mentally retarded people because, well, they committed a crime. We said so.
Oh, man, dude. It's pretty fucking scary. Pretty fucking scary. This is why you got to pay attention to what's happening around you, folks. This is why you want to pay attention to what's happening with your local governance, with what's happening in your own state. It's not just about the national stage. It's about your own backyard. I'm Hart D. Fisher. You've been listening to Heart Attack. Find me on Facebook at facebook.com/heartattackradio. Find me on Twitter, Hart_Fisher. And, you know, help me out. I've had some of the guys who listen. We've had a nice dialogue. They've kind of schooled me, schooled them. It's all good, guys. We're all looking to get smarter, stronger, and do a better job every day. I'm Hart Fisher. Thanks for listening to Heart Attack.
In Michigan, the governor, the Republican governor, refused to pass what we're calling the rape insurance bill. So the Republican Party went behind their own guy's back and had 300,000 signatures, and they passed the petition and they passed the bill that basically says if you get raped, you cannot have your insurance company pay for the procedures, pay for the abortion that maybe if you got pregnant, unless you take out specific rape insurance. Basically going, you know what? I'm going to a party this weekend. Maybe I'm going to get roofied. I might need the rape insurance.
Am I up to date on that?
What is my deductible on the rape insurance? I'm gonna bypass Charlie first. Since we have Kat on the show, what is your initial reaction to Michigan's rape insurance, Kat?
It's just so absurd that I can hardly believe that it's real. I heard about this story a couple weeks ago, and I guess when they were first trying to push it or whatever, I heard about it and I thought this cannot be real. I cannot live in a I do live in a country this dumb. Fuck my life. Fuck my life. I live in a country that's dumb.
Yeah.
Like, how does this even happen? How does this get passed?
How does it get passed when the Republican governor says no?
Like, even the Republican governor said, that is ludicrous. And they still went with it. What the fuck?
And see, part of what they wanted to do is, it's not so much about rape. Is they wanted, this is actually an anti-abortion scheme. Because Michigan is one of the more strict abortion states where you have to have, you can't just get an abortion for, ah, what the hell, you know, the 10th one's free kind of shit. You can't pull that kind of thing. So there was always the rape exception. The anti-abortion league wanted to find a way to get around the rape exception. And they did, because now you can't get an abortion unless you've prepaid for the rape insurance.
I'm kind of with Kat on this. I'm more bewildered than anything else. I mean, it's definitely a new low for the Republican Party. I don't know. I think it makes perfect sense that it – I was about to say Trojan horse shit. But
well, if Trojans
it is,
were involved, there wouldn't be pregnancies.
Right. They would be just be raping each other. It gets lonely in that giant horse.
Not the Trojan I was talking about, but fine.
It is just a Trojan horse anti-abortion move. And I don't know. I just think it's reprehensible. I don't know. I think it's just another attempt by the – I won't even say the Republican Party, because I've heard Democrats do this too. But it's an attempt of an insecure male to put forth the notion that it's mostly a woman's fault if she's raped.
Are we back to the 70s with Just Lie Back?
Exactly. I don't know. I think it's despicable. I think it's more misogynistic than anything else.
And what's really startling is the number of women that actually signed this petition, because women did sign it. And
300,000 is a lot of people in a single state.
So, like, I guess I don't know how they marketed it, but I'm assuming they marketed it in a way that says basically what they're saying is we're going to some exceptions, but basically if you want to get an abortion, you're on your own. And so I can understand the mindset that you don't want to pay for other people to is that it costs way more money to have a kid, and the support that you're going to end up having to pay through insurance or whatever for someone else to support a kid than it is for them to get an abortion.
There's also the fact that they added riders to this. For instance, you cannot purchase the rape insurance after the rape, nor after you find out you're pregnant. So maybe you find out, maybe you get raped and you don't find out for a couple of weeks. You're not allowed to then go purchase the rape insurance to be able to get the abortion. No, no, no. You will have that rapist child.
And this is fucking ridiculous, because that means that every woman in that state is forced to live in fear that they are going to be raped. That is fucking ridiculous.
Or just pay for the possibility.
Right. But it forces you to accept, okay, either I'm not going to get raped, and maybe I won't get raped, and I won't, you know, whatever. This is fucking ridiculous. This is, like, victim blaming at its finest.
I think this takes a lot, you know what, I'll say all of the sting out of the Republican criticism of Obamacare.
To me, I look at this as just one more reason that I do not understand female support for the Republican Party, or the Tea Party specifically, not the Republican Party in general.
Well, it's just a bigger scale version of a woman being oddly attracted to a dude that treats her like shit.
It's a religious thing. It's got to be a religious thing, because otherwise I can't fucking fathom it. Like, if you're so devoted to your religion that you're just going to blindly follow whatever they say on Fox News, then you cannot be reached by logic. It literally doesn't make sense for people to support a party that wages war on them. And the Republicans say, no, there is no war on women, but there's so many fucking men there that how can they possibly justify this? It's so ridiculous.
But then, yeah. But then there's another issue with this too. Now, the Republican Party is the one that's always bitching whenever Obama overrules maybe one of their idiotic things, like the Papers, Please! Law in Arizona and things like that, as unconstitutional, and the Supreme Court might overturn something. They're like, we are sick of the government stepping in and overruling what the people want. Yet, isn't that exactly what they just did to their own governor? He didn't rule on our side. We have to supersede him.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that just more hypocrisy?
He went behind his back, which is odd considering it's rape insurance.
It's such a delicious, succulent hypocrisy that the party of small government is constantly going out of its way to absolutely control every facet of your home life, particularly women's reproductive rights. It's like you can't say that you want your freedom and you want the government to back out and give you space and mind their own fucking business when you've got your hand up every woman's vagina. It's wrong.
Let's move away from this to the next topic of something that is very wrong. This is not a Republican thing, but do you think that human life in general has inherent value no matter who you are, whether you're a Wall Street banker or a transsexual prostitute?
Oh, this is the thing from Queens, isn't it?
All right, that's Charlie's answer.
God damn it.
The answer is yes. All life is equal.
What happened was Amanda Gonzalez-Anjouar was a transsexual prostitute in New York. Rasheen Everett strangled Gonzalez-Anjouar because he found out she had a penis after he brought her home. Well, he was being sentenced to 25 years to life. And this is one of the cases the judge is not to blame here. His attorney, John Scarpa, actually argued, quoting, a sentence of 25 years to life is an incredibly long period of time, Judge. Shouldn't that be reserved for people who are guilty of killing certain classes of individuals? Who is the victim in this case? Is the victim a person in the higher end of the community? What the basically, he's saying, all my client did was murder a tranny prostitute. What's the big deal? It's not like he murdered a banker or someone that mattered, right?
The whole thing was despicable. I mean, it's the worst thing that I've heard about a lawyer doing in a really long time. And this is post-Steubenville America that we're living in. I don't know. I just think it's terrible. There's nothing redeemable about this lawyer, who oddly enough has the last name of a supervillain, Scarpa.
You're just not letting this supervillain thing go tonight, are you?
It keeps coming up. It's not my fault.
But, well, it's pretty sad when a lawyer gives lawyers a bad name, because lawyers have such terrible reputation as it is.
Deservedly so.
This story, it's really, really awful, because who legitimately goes in thinking, well, okay, let me see if I can make that it's only a prostitute argument and see if that goes by well.
But it wasn't just a prostitution argument. It was that it was a transsexual prostitute. It was even low end for a prostitute, was part of his argument. She had a penis. She's worthless as a human, right? To me, it's just, I can't believe that this actually got argued in court. I mean, I know that there are people that think this, especially in the upper echelons. They think of all of us as just peons that are there to be stepped on and that we don't have inherent value in our lives. But to hear an attorney, someone who passed the bar and who has been an attorney for about 15 to 20 years, actually try to argue this. Part of my black coal heart died a little bit reading this.
Someone who has presumably dedicated his life to upholding justice, tried to make it okay for some dude to choke a hooker.
And then thankfully, the judge stepped in and went, all right, I'm shutting this shit down. No. And the judge outright said, in the court system, all life has the same value. So this is one of those cases where the judge is the good guy.
I would love to read a transcript from that session. I mean, that would be awesome. Like, hearing the judge say, counselor, are you fucking high? What is the matter with you?
I don't know about that part, but the judge said, quoting, this court believes every human life is sacred. It's not easy living as a transgender, and I commend the family for supporting her. And then he gave the 25 years to life sentence.
What killed me was the Everett, after choking this hooker to death in Queens, he flees. Like, he covers the body with bleach, because that's how they found the body. And he flees to Las Vegas.
Where prostitution's legal?
I don't understand that. Like, that's probably the worst place you can go if you're running from a murder rap.
Well, isn't that, like, the city of sin, basically? I mean, I know if I had just committed a crime, I'd want to go lay low in a place with lots of murders on their own.
He also robbed her. We also have to point that out. He also robbed her. He stole all of her stuff because they figured, well, what the hell? Maybe she's got a nice stereo.
Being in a higher place in society than he was.
Attorney is trying to argue that she didn't matter. This guy just killed a woman, stole all her stuff, and then ran to Vegas. I'm thinking Everett's the one that doesn't matter here, or am I being too judgmental with that?
He's the kind of guy that makes me believe that all human life is equally shitty.
And there's also the irony. Okay, so she had a penis. It's in Queens. What did you expect?
It is 2013. I mean, finding out that the hooker you're with has a dick is not the worst thing in the world that can happen. I mean, you're already with a hooker.
And in Queens, probably not a high-class one. What does this say, then, about just not the fact that Scarpa made this argument, but the fact that if you look at the comments on any of the news sites, there were people supporting it. There were people supporting Scarpa. There were people, like, just a tranny, so there's one less tranny in the world. And yeah, I'm going to keep using that word because that's the word that they were using in the comments. It's just a tranny. What's the big deal? I saw one guy say Everett should be commended for what he did.
Well, don't feed the trolls is probably maybe a couple of those comments. Just don't feed the trolls. Stupidity and just so much loathing in people for things that they don't understand or that make them uncomfortable. That's a verifiable fact. They just don't value the lives of things that they don't like or that they don't respect. So that's why racism is still a thing.
So
you know?
Then would I be wrong in saying if one of them gets killed, it's just one less redneck, who cares, right?
Man.
I'd be a terrible human being for saying that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, I don't understand this. She's transgender. She was a prostitute, which means obviously something is going wrong in her life. I mean, nobody chooses to be a prostitute. But there's the fact that her life mattered. Even Everett's life mattered until he did this. Now I think it doesn't. And Scarpa, I'm just going to be quiet because I can't say something nice about Scarpa.
I don't think there's anything nice to be said about that guy.
And you know what? I bet he walked out of that courtroom thinking, that was damn clever. I'm going to get a lot of coverage out of this.
God, what a scumbag.
I mean, I feel like this was like his last move of desperation. Like, you'd have to be pretty desperate to actually plead this in court. So I know he probably didn't go home and hang his head in shame like he should have. And then he probably did get a lot of press coverage for it, but hopefully it's all as negative as humanly possible. Hopefully he's hurting his reputation. If we lived in a just world, this guy would pay for his stupidity.
Don't lawyers have like an ethics clause as part of keeping your bar association license? I think this violated it.
If not, it really should have.
Kat, where can we find you all nerding out with the third?
You can find me on neckbarwiththeglasses.com under the podcast for Nerd to the Third. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/labyrinthcat, and you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdistcat.
And Charlie, when you're not murdering prostitutes, where can people find you?
In the bathroom, washing up. I'm kidding. You can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, on geekjuicemedia.com. And if you live in Greeley, Colorado, I will have been at the Down Under Comedy Club 3 days before this aired. So thanks for nothing.
All right. You can find me, same geekjuicemedia.com, 1201beyond.com, and contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Try and have a good night, guys.
the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.